We begin a new year, 2024. Man, did you ever think that we'd ever see 2024? You ever watch those movies and it'll tell you the year, you know, like it'll say somewhere in the future, 2000, you know, back when we would watch the movies in the 80s, it'd say, you know, 2024. And it's like, oh, we'll never see that. Here we are, you know. It's so funny. I go back and I watch some, like Back to the Future. What was it? It was 2018 or 2015 or something like that. I forget. And I remember everybody had the memes out whenever, you know, hey, well, this is the time set in Back to the Future whenever he went to the future. This was the year they went, you know, different things like that. And so we don't ever think about those dates when we're watching something. And, of course, the movies always think that we're going to be farther along in technology than what we are by the time we get here. But it's interesting. But do any of you think about what a number means? Does anybody ever think about what a number means at all? We talk about the number 7 a lot in the church, don't we? We don't like it when our total comes up $6.66, do we? We like, can I buy something else? Do we not? You know, I'll give you a penny, right? Anything, piece of gum, can we get off that number? You know, we try to find things. So we think about those two numbers quite a bit. Numbers are important to God. Did you know that? Numbers are very important. Numbers are so important to God. You know what he did? He wrote a book about numbers. There's the fourth book of the Old Testament is the book of Numbers. And numbers are very important to God. He thinks about numbers. And today I want to give you a look into what the number 24 means, okay? Now, some of you may agree, some of you may not, but that's fine. But we're going to look at the number 24, and I hope to kind of give you some idea of some things. Now, when we think of the number 24, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Anybody? How many hours are in a day? Do we not? Do we not think about that? 24 hours in a day. Anybody ever said 24/7, 365 days. Anybody ever think about that? Yeah, we always think about the 24. Several years ago, there was a TV show called 24. I don't know, anybody ever watched that show? I tried. I could not get into it. It was just, I was like, it just drove me nuts. But today I want to take a little deeper look. I want us to dig just a little bit deeper into the number 24, and I'm hoping that I can bring some things out that will kind of you can use for this new year to help you out. But there is a meaning behind each number. God has a meaning. You can sit there and you can look up each number. Each number has a specific meaning. And so I want us to look at the number 24 today. God has placed certain numbers in the Bible for us. He placed those numbers in there for us. And the number 24, it represents the priesthood. And let me explain. When they would write the number 24 in Hebrew, they wrote two Hebrew letters. Go to that first slide. Kaf, Daleth, Daleth. I don't know. This is 24. And these signify the open palm in the act of opening a door. Okay? Signifying an open hand, showing and offering to us the door of priesthood and access into the sanctuary of God. That's pretty good, huh? So 24 is the number of priesthood. The number 12, okay, that's a division of 24. The number 12 is the number of governmental perfection. It's multiple, number 24, is the number of priesthood. So wherein lies the call to spiritual government? This is a heavenly government of priesthood rather than a political government of kings, okay? And we read in Scripture that God gives David the blueprints that his son Solomon are to build for the new temple, okay? Among these patterns was a change in priesthood. They went from 12 to 24 courses of priests. And then in Revelation chapter 4, verse 4, we talk about the 24 seated around the throne. We talk about the 24 elders around the throne in Revelation 4. And people believe that this is a representation of the church. The 12 tribes in the Old Testament representing the Old Testament church, and the 12 apostles in the New Testament representing the New Testament church. And they're coming together to create the complete church. Christ's personal sacrifice secured the redemption of God's people of all time. So 24 is the number of the priesthood. Is everybody still with me? Okay? And I believe that as we are quickly approaching 2024, we're some 12 and a half hours away, so we're really close. This new year will be the year of the priesthood. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us as believers? If you have your Bibles this morning, go with me to 1 Peter. I'm going to be reading from chapter 2, and I want to begin reading at verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 1. Everybody ready? It says, therefore. Usually in the scriptures, whenever you see that word therefore, it means to listen, because what he's about to tell us is very, very important, right? So therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Excuse me. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. How many likes good food? How many likes to eat something really good? When you taste it on your tongue, it tastes really good. And you live, what do you want? You want more of it, right? Right? When you taste something really good, you desire more of it. How many of you had some pecan pie or some kind of cookie that you really like at Christmas time? Or maybe you ate some ham or some turkey or something over this last few weeks, and you just craved it. Now, some of you are saying, I don't want to see another turkey for another 11 months, right? I mean, I'm sick of turkey. I've had turkey for the last 2 months, some of you. But when you get those things and you taste it, you begin to crave it. You want more of it. If you haven't had it in a long time, what happens is hopefully that hunger grows even stronger and you desire it even more. Think about that for a moment. Here he is. He's telling us, now taste and see. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. When you get just a little bit of God's word, when you get just a little bit of the presence of God being in your life, you should taste it and desire it and want more of Him. Amen? And that's the way we should be. Here we are, we're moving into the new year. We should want to taste and see more of what God has for us. Amen? God's good. Amen? And look at verse 4. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to Him, talking about Jesus there, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be what? A holy priesthood. It's talking to you. Offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through who? Jesus Christ. Verse 6. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. And here we are, number 9. But you, everybody turn to your neighbor and say, you. Point at them. Tell them, you. You are a chosen people. Amen? A royal priesthood. A holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I want to give you two things that you are to do for 2024. I want you to hear what I'm about to tell you. I want you to write them down. I want you to put them somewhere where you can take this to heart. And I want you to, even when we get to 2025, I want you to be able to look back and say, I remember what Pastor preached, and I remember God has done some amazing things in 2024. I believe 2024 is going to be the best year you've ever seen. Amen? I believe God's going to do some amazing things in your life. I believe God's going to do some amazing things in the life of this church. Amen? And I'm ready to open it with open arms and receive what God has for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Here we go. And I know you're going to hear these things and you're going to say, oh, well, these things are, we should do that all the time. And you're right. But I believe they're specifically, I believe God is writing, he's got a message for us today, and I want you to write these. Number one, you need to desire more of God. And you say, that's simple. You're right, it is simple, but how many of us do that? Remember we talked about when you get a taste, a little morsel. Kelly will be cooking something and she'll say, hey, come here and taste this. And if I go in there and I taste something and it's something that's really, really good, what do I want to do? I want to come back for the main course, right? I mean, I want some more of that, right? I mean, that tastes really good. And I believe you're going to get a glimpse of just a little bit of what God wants to do in your life. And you're going to say, I want more of that. Amen? Amen. Here we go. Desire more of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. The first year of a baby's life, they drink almost exclusively milk. Either through breastfeeding or formula, they crave this milk. They want it. That's all they want. That is their source of nourishment, and they need it to begin their growth process. And we as believers, we need to crave the things of God so that we can get the spiritual nourishment that we need to grow in our salvation. Amen? We need that nourishment as believers. If we're not receiving it, if we're not getting it, if we're not understanding it, then we're not going to grow. We need that nourishment that only can come to us from God. As a believer, how often do you read your Bible? Think about that. And can I just say something? I like digital Bibles, but they can't replace your physical Bible. There's something about having that physical Bible that you can take it, you can write in it, you can underline it, you can highlight it, you can do all those things. You say, yeah, but I can do that on my... It's just not the same. I've got Bibles in there that I've had throughout my life that I can go back and I'll look through and I'll say, oh yeah, I remember, oh that was good. I've got one Bible in there, it was right as I was starting to preach, and it's a Thompson Chain Bible, and I wore the cover off that thing that I had to get somebody to put a new cover on it because I constantly was going through it. You need a physical copy of a Bible. If you can't afford one, come see me and I'll get you one. Because you need a physical copy of a Bible, something that you can read that can be yours, that you can take ownership of and know that, hey, this is my Bible. Amen? Don't be afraid to mark up the Bible. Don't be afraid to underline it. Make it a part of yours. The digital Bible is great. It's great for convenience to take with you wherever you go. But you need a physical copy of a Bible. As believers, we need to hunger for the Word of God. Amen? We need to desire to have the Word of God as a part of our daily life. Every single day, every time we take a step, every time we do something, we need that Word in our heart. If we come into a situation, we need to have that Scripture so that we can quote it in that moment, so we can quote that Scripture. So we say, well, I'm not good at memorizing. Hey, Just get the gist of it. Figure out exactly what it's saying. Work on it. Meditate on it. Let you see it. Put it in front of you so you know it, so you have it as a part of your life. Place note cards in your car if you have to. Place them on your mirror. Put them in places that you can see the Word of God, that you can see that Scripture, and you can make it a part of your life. How much time do you spend in prayer with God? I believe that God's telling us that we need to get back in His Word more and we need to spend more time with Him. Amen? We need to work on our relationship with the Father. And the second thing that I believe God is telling us to do, and I'm going to spend a little more time on that, is you need to know your role as a part of the priesthood of God. Know your role. Verse 5, look at it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Does anybody, and some of you may know this, but just blurt it out. Does anyone want to guess what the family line the priesthood came from in the Old Testament? Levi, there you go. The priesthood came from the tribe of Levi. In the Old Testament, the priesthood was restricted to a qualified minority. Only the descendants of Aaron from the Israelite tribe of Levi, and their unique responsibility was to offer sacrifices to God on behalf of His people and to make communication between God and His people possible. Exodus chapter 28 verse 1 says, "Have Aaron, your brother, brought to you from among the Israelites along with his sons Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, so they may serve me as priests." Now, through Jesus Christ, every true Christian has been made a priest to God, Revelation 1:6, and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve His God and Father. To Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Revelation 5:10, "You have made them to be a kingdom and priest to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Us being a part of the priesthood means this: we have direct access to God through Christ. Amen? You and I have direct access. As believers, we have direct access to God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 says, "For through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." You see, when Christ died upon the cross, the veil that separated the Holy of Holies to the rest of the temple was torn. That created access for us to go to the throne of God. We have access. As believers, we have direct access to God because of what Christ did upon the cross. Amen? When we became a part of the priesthood, we are obligated to live holy lives. As a believer, we need to live a holy life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 says, "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.' Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear." Now, does this mean that we're going to all be perfect? Does this mean that we're all going to have just wonderful, perfect lives and everything's just going to be all great and grand and wonderful and all that? No. We will never reach perfection while we are in an imperfect world. Amen? We're not going to reach that perfection here. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to live the best life that we can live in Christ. Will we make mistakes? I do every single day. I make mistakes all the time. I'm not perfect. Never claim to be perfect. But I still want to strive for holiness, because if I desire to be holy, then my life will be better for it. Amen? If I strive to live a holy life, my life is going to be better. And it's when we get out of God's plan that we begin to mess up things, don't we? When we get outside of God's will is when we start screwing everything up. And we start doing things that we're not supposed to be doing, right? That's why it's so important that we stay in God's plan for our life. Also, as a part of the priesthood, we must offer spiritual, quote, sacrifices, unquote, to God. How do we do this? Does this mean that we need to learn how to sacrifice animals? No, you better not, because they're probably going to haul you off to jail. It's like, what are you doing? People in your neighborhood's going to think you done lost your mind. You are crazy. Why are you sacrificing that goat upon the altar? Where did you find those doves, and why are you slaughtering them, you know? I mean, don't touch that lamb, you know? I mean, this is not something we're supposed to do, but we live in obedience to God, which means we refuse to conform to the pattern of the world. Romans 12, verse 1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to what? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I want the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God working and moving in my life. Amen. That's part of being a part of the priesthood. We develop a prayer life to God, and we learn how to praise God. These are important things. Everything that we do here on this earth is about the Father. Amen? Everything that we do is about Him who saved us, Him who loves us, Him who cares for us, and we are to give Him honor and glory and worship Him, and we are to adore Him and magnify His name and give Him praise, and we need to learn how to do that. Amen? But we develop a prayer life to God, and we learn how to praise God. Psalm 50, verse 14 says, sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High. Hebrews 13, 15 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a what? Sacrifice of praise. The fruit of lips that openly profess His name. We also learn to serve God with our whole heart and our willing hands. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Philippians 2, 17 says, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. We perform good works and we give our material possessions. Romans 12, 13 says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. We present our bodies to God as instruments of righteousness. We need to do what is right according to God's standards and plans. This is about being a part of the priesthood. If you are a believer, you are a part of the priesthood. Have you ever gone to a band concert or a symphony? Anybody ever done that? Yeah, some of you. So, you know, as you're sitting there and you're waiting for them to start, what do? They get warmed up. You ever heard a band or an orchestra or a symphony get warmed up? It sounds like chaos, don't it? They're all playing at the same time. They're just playing whatever they want to. They're just, you know, and it's like, what is this? And then what does he do? The conductor comes up and he taps his little baton on the stand, click, 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 to get their attention, right? And then he raises his arms, and all of a sudden they start, and it's the most beautiful thing you've ever heard. It's like, oh my goodness. It was chaotic. It was just a mess at first. But once he starts, it's just amazing. It's just a beautiful melody and harmony. And this is what it's like when we present our bodies to God as instruments of righteousness. Amen? Look at 6:13 again. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. Do you see the difference? When we bring ourselves to God, it's so beautiful to Him. It's such a beautiful melody and harmony, and it just works out. It's just beautiful. And He loves it when we come and we do the things that He has asked us to do. These are just a few ways that you can offer spiritual sacrifices to God. This is what it's about, making a sacrifice. What are some of your other roles as part of the priesthood? You are to intercede. It's so important that we become intercessors. An intercessor is someone that prays for other people's needs and concerns. You spend time praying for each other and for people that you don't even know. On our app, our church app, we have a place where people can post prayer needs. You can go on there and you can put a prayer need. Now, one thing that we ask is could you be specific when putting a request on that prayer wall? Maybe add a last name initial so we don't think it's someone else that it isn't. But you can look at this app and you can see those that are in need, and then you can pray for those people. It's so important that we learn how to pray for one another, right? What happens? We live our lives and we get so caught up in everything that we do that we forget about other people sometimes. And it's so good that when we find out and hear about other people, guess what? Excuse me. They have a remnant of people, a group of people that are intercessing for their needs, and they're praying for their needs, and they're coming together and we're believing for one another. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for who? All people, right? Defend God's word. As a part of the priesthood, you need to defend God's word. You need to spread the message of Christ and pray for its effect on people. It's one thing to spread the word, but it's another thing to pray for its effect on people. Amen? If the word goes forth and it doesn't, we don't see any fruit from it, then did we present the message well enough? Do we say the things that God was telling us to say? These are things that we need to ask ourselves. What can I do differently next time? Time is short. We have to get the word out about who Jesus is. And that's a job for each of us believers to do. Acts chapter 4, verse 31 says, after they prayed, the place they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters, when you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us, that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. If you're a true believer, then you are a part of the priesthood of God. And these several things that I've listed, it's your responsibility to do. It's important that you make these a practice in 2024. It's coming up, right? It's the year of the priesthood. We need to take up the position that you have been given as a part of the priesthood of God. We can no longer sit back, amen? We can no longer sit back and say, well, we'll just let everything just take place. We'll let everybody else do their part, and I'll just, whenever my time's up, then I'll go to glory, and everything will be fine. God has called us to become, amen? He's called us to be a part. We are going to be a church that's moving forward for the kingdom of God. And we want all of you to be a part of this church and the steps that God is ordering us to take. The steps are being ordered of God. So here's what I'm asking each of you to do this morning. I want our worship team to come. They're going to sing that old song, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Here's two things that I want to happen. Number one, if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, today's the day. Don't get out of 2023 without asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Don't leave this year without asking Jesus to be your Savior. Start the new year off right by making Jesus Lord of your life. And then the second thing I want you to do is say, Lord, I want to be a sanctuary for you. I want to be a sanctuary for you. Can we all stand this morning? And can we just come and gather around the front and make this our prayer? God, I'm crying out to you this morning. God, I pray for every